One day back when I was in fifth grade, I figured out that on 11-11-11, I would turn 60 years old. I was obsessed with numbers, and even though I really should have been spending that time learning my state capitals, something about that discovery so resonated with me that I always knew I had to do something spectacular, a genuine once-in-a-lifetime thing, to mark that auspicious date so very far in my future. That future date is now more than 14 years in my past, but as I planned in fifth grade, I celebrated it with a once-in-a-lifetime adventure with Russ. We went to the Grand Canyon so I could see my very first California condors. I'd first heard about condors in 1970 in the run-up to that heady first Earth Day. Condors were already getting some protection in California and were a poster child for the proposed Endangered Species Act. It seemed wondrous that there could be a living creature consigned to a body unable to digest anything but meat, yet incapable of taking a life, even to sustain its own. Well, condors do swallow maggots here and there, but not on purpose. And something about the condor's face seemed to my eyes to exude soulful innocence. How could I not be charmed? In 1987, researchers realized that every single wild condor had dangerously high blood lead levels, so every one of the few remaining birds was taken into captivity. At that point, there were a total of 22 living condors, and none had ever successfully bred in captivity. But passionate, committed people kept working on the problem, and the very next year, a captive pair did produce an egg. Within the next 7 years, captive birds had produced more than 100 eggs. The reintroduction program released some birds in California starting in 1992 and in the Grand Canyon area of Arizona in 1996. On our splendid 11-11-11 trip, we didn't see any condors in Grand Canyon National Park, though a park ranger at one of the main overlooks pointed out a cave where a nestling was hidden. The condors we saw were at Vermilion Cliffs, just outside the park. That's where the captive-reared birds were released, and many still gravitate to that area. The total number of California condors in the world is now somewhere around 560 individuals, about 360 flying free in California, Arizona, Utah, Oregon, and Mexico, and about 200 in the captive breeding program. This is an order of magnitude larger than the 22 remaining in the world in the 80s, but there should be many more, considering that the condors have produced more than 1,000 chicks in captivity and in the wild. The number one cause of mortality for condors is ingesting lead from bullets and shot. In 2007, despite the NRA and a huge hunting lobby opposing it, Arnold Schwarzenegger signed a state law phasing out lead ammunition for hunters within just a small area of the condor's range. Tragically, condors are notoriously illiterate and incapable of reading range maps, so birds were still eating a lot of carcasses that had been shot with lead bullets or shot. In 2013, Jerry Brown signed a stronger law that would phase out lead ammo for all wildlife hunting statewide, ending it completely by 2019. Again, the NRA and hunting lobbies vigorously opposed it, and these entities are still doing their best to make it impossible for such legislation to pass in Arizona or Utah. One of Obama's last acts as president was to sign an executive order prohibiting any hunting with lead ammo on federal lands. But the very first thing Donald Trump's Interior Secretary, Ryan Zinke, did on his first day in office in 2017 was to overturn that ban, claiming that sportsmen's groups were united against it. In addition to lead poisoning, individuals in the condor's Southern California population feeding on large sea mammals washed up along the coast are still ingesting DDT. That's because for decades, both before and after the pesticide was banned in 1972, the largest DDT manufacturer in the world, the Montrose Chemical Corporation, was discharging waste chemicals through sewers into the Palos Verdes Shelf and dumping hundreds of thousands of barrels of DDT and chemical waste via barges. They were legally required to dispose of those barrels at a deep sea site, but it was faster and cheaper to dump it much closer to shore. To prevent detection, a great many of the barrels were punctured for faster sinking, creating a massive, persistent, toxic site that still causes cancer in sea lions and thinned eggshells in the condors and bald eagles who feed on their carcasses over a half century later. Other recent causes of mortality for juvenile and adult condors include collisions with power lines, electrocution when they attempt to alight on the lines or poles, and even zinc poisoning from ingesting pennies tossed into the Grand Canyon. Nestlings still sometimes die when their parents feed them plastic and other trash, apparently mistaken for carcasses. Even as conservation and wildlife biologists and other caring people work desperately to save California condors, millionaires, corporate powers, and their minions complain that the species is a relict or living fossil that doesn't belong in the modern world anyway. The fact that corals, lobsters, horseshoe crabs, and many other species, including sandhill cranes, are older than condors doesn't matter to greedy hoarders who don't want a penny of their taxes to support conservation. Since long before humans entered the scene, condors have been around cleaning up messes. What we've done to them is unconscionable no matter how you look at it, but somehow in this topsy-turvy world, as government officials applaud an ICE officer for shooting a young mother in the face and try to prevent state prosecutors from investigating the man who murdered her, even as they pressure state prosecutors to investigate the victim's family, the very concept of conscience no longer seems relevant. America has sold its soul to billionaires, white supremacists, misogynists, and medical quacks. Our nation used to be at the forefront in both scientific research and in creating laws and regulations to protect humans, wildlife, and the air, water, soil, and other natural resources that we living beings all need and share. Corporate America and the uglier, greedier elements of what was once called the conservative movement were never on board with that, only grudgingly going along at all when massive popular movements such as that first Earth Day put profitability at stake. These ugly forces who have made my beloved Minnesota a police state are clearly not invested in protecting people, much less the lives of our fellow creatures. We human beings who still have a hold on our hearts and souls must resist for condors and for ourselves. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.